Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. Happy holidays.
Thanks, Mike. Same to you.
We just want to remind our listeners that they can find this week's poem as well as other poems on the AFP website. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's in the journal American Family Physician, and if you're a general internist or family doc, you already get it mailed to you in all likelihood. And we're publishing the five poems that we talk about each month on our podcast in AFP. And, of course, there are 20 other poems that we don't have the opportunity to talk about on the podcast. You can also subscribe to those at EssentialEvidence.com.
Excellent. This week's poem, we're going to look at an old friend of ours, acute bronchitis, if not the one of the top most commonly encountered infectious diseases in primary care, often self-limited. Patients with acute bronchitis present with a cough, by definition, sort of lasting more than 5 days, less than 3 weeks, with some sputum production. Again, just a reminder that acute bronchitis is not the same thing as chronic bronchitis. Acute bronchitis is usually caused by a virus. The most common viruses, influenza A and B, parainfluenza, coronavirus, rhinovirus, and our old friend respiratory syncytial virus. It's interesting because despite the viruses, still the vast majority of patients with acute bronchitis seek our care, and what they're seeking our care for is an antibiotic. There are lots of very smart groups of people, including the American College of Physicians, the CDC, et cetera, that have done a quite noble job of trying to dissuade us from prescribing antibiotics for acute bronchitis. All of these guidelines state quite unequivocally that pertussis is really the only infectious indication for the treatment of acute bronchitis. And, you know, there is a little good news. I mean, I guess it depends if you're a half-empty or a half-filled kind of guy, but the frequency of prescription for antibiotics for acute bronchitis has decreased. It's gone from 75% to 60% over a 10-year period. So, you know, not nearly as much as we'd like, but at least it's headed in the right direction. Lots of data I won't review in terms of what prescriptions are being used, but again, unfortunately, lots of sort of broad-spectrum newer antibiotics as opposed to older, more narrow-spectrum antibiotics. The poem Mark's chosen for us this week comes from the BMJ. It was published in 2013, volume 347. You can find the exact citation on the AFP website because it's a long, complicated name. But it asks the question, in adults with discolored sputum and acute bronchitis, is treatment with either amoxicillin and clavulanic acid or ibuprofen more effective than placebo in decreasing the number of days with frequent cough? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this study was set in Spain, and the researchers identified patients. Oh, and by the way, before I begin, you know, you mentioned the glass half full. Data shows that the percentage getting antibiotics has been declining. That's true. The glass half empty part is that the percentage of those who got an antibiotic, who got a broad spectrum antibiotic like Levaquin or Z-Pak, has been going up. So we're, you know, overall, I'm not sure that we're actually making a lot of progress. We're doing a study right now here in Athens looking at local data on all adults who are, and the prescriptions that they get and fill within a month of an episode of respiratory infection, and still seeing very high rates of prescribing. So still work to do. So one of the things we'd like to be able to do is say, hey, okay, if the antibiotic doesn't work, then maybe we can give you something else and you can feel better. So this Spanish study took 416 adults who were coming into a primary care center with acute bronchitis for less than a week. So very typical kind of population we might see here. About 38% were currently smoking, higher than the rates here, but, you know, this is Spain after all. Everyone had a cough. They all had some kind of color to their sputum, which we know is a bad sign, right? And at least one other symptom like fever or dyspnea or wheeze or chest discomfort. So they excluded them. They did x-rays and excluded them if they had evidence of pneumonia or if they had other severe infection signs, like they were confused, they were tachypneic, they tachycardic, something like that. So really pretty garden variety acute bronchitis patients. They were randomized to get either ibuprofen, amoxiclav or Augmentin, or placebo for 10 days. And so it was a, you know, typical kind of antibiotic we might use in this country for somebody with acute bronchitis. The mean time to feeling better was about 15 days, which is similar to that seen in other studies. Other studies have seen a range from 14 to about 23 days. And I think that's a part of the message also, is that it took a couple of weeks for these people to completely feel better on average, so half took more than 2 weeks. And they had frequent cough. They used a diary to record how much they were coughing. And frequent cough, the kind that really makes you feel miserable, went for an average of about 10 days. And it was 10 days for all three groups. Didn't seem to matter what they were given, whether they were randomized to the antibiotic, to the ibuprofen, or to the placebo. Took about 10 days for that frequent cough to resolve. So that's really an important message for our patients. You know, you come in after 3 days of bronchitis symptoms, it's going to be at least a week of frequent cough and probably a couple of weeks of coughing overall on average before you're feeling better. Symptom scores didn't differ between groups. The adverse effects were more common with antibiotics compared to the ibuprofen or placebo. So the bottom line is antibiotics did not help this get better any faster. This is yet another study confirming that using a moderate spectrum antibiotic. And unfortunately, ibuprofen wasn't helpful either.
I have just gotten finished with some work on an AHRQ advisory panel on this topic. And we spent a lot of time thinking about this. And, you know, it's one of those very complicated problems in terms of decreasing prescribing. And, you know, the answer, in my humble opinion, isn't a CME question. It isn't a knowledge question. It really is a question whose answer needs to come from, you know, our social science colleagues. And it's so complicated and so interwoven with patient expectations and reimbursement and the speed yeah. with which you can write a prescription as opposed to the time it takes to educate a patient. It's a very complicated social issue.
So, Mike, I'm curious, in systems that are more, you know, you think of vertically integrated systems where doctors are on a salary like Kaiser Permanente, do they have lower prescribing rates than individual practices where physicians may feel more of a need to keep their patients happy and coming back? I hate to put it that way, but I've always kind of wondered about that.
Yeah, the answer is yes, but the explanation is a little different. I think the explanation
right.
is that they are monitoring this and giving physicians not only feedback on their prescribing, but on their colleagues' mm-hmm. prescribing. So there's a gravitation toward the mean, and, you know, it is substantially less.
Yeah, and so that's – hopefully there's some lessons that we can learn there. And, you know, I think that patients – you know, there are some positive trends. Patients are – in my experience, more likely now than 10 years ago to say, you know, do I really need an antibiotic? Whereas you never used to hear that. Now it's not uncommon to hear that, mm-hmm. Particularly where it comes to kids. You know, I think parents are concerned about their kids having too many antibiotics. And of course, you still hear the opposite. But I think there is some movement toward an understanding among our patients that, you know, this isn't something that always needs an antibiotic. And maybe that'll change who comes in with that expectation as well.
Mark, we'll
All right.
talk with you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.